Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show.
Came into my life,
Brown Liquor Music Hour starting off. Chuckery always gets the first request. Little Stephanie Mills with Teddy Pendergrass. A little duet to action to get things going. I think this is like late 70s or early 80s. I'm trying to remember where exactly this was. This might have been like real early 80s. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to hit us up with a comment there. As always, download the Radio.com app. We know that you want to listen to the radio station, but you know, you're not in your car as often, so the best way to do it is through the Radio.com app. Put it on your device. You've got your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet. You got a boombox, maybe a Walkman, I don't know, a Sega Genesis, a Commodore 64, a Swatch Watch. Just download it onto some device that you have. That way, Fitbit, you know, just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, it's do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's in Midtown producing the show. He'll spin the hits the rest of the way, but he won't be with us tomorrow night. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Let's do, it's time, it's Thursday. Let's do our college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup. A complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, earlier, before we even got the Big Ten's decision to only play conference games, the ACC had already made an announcement that they were going to delay the start of all of their fall sports until September 1st. So, this would not be just a football thing. Okay, it was going to be all sports that would be taking place would be pushed back until September 1st. Okay, it said that the ACC football schedule was set to begin on September 2nd when NC State and Louisville were going to play. Now, remember that game got moved around because of the Kentucky Derby. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that they actually moved that game up. Like, they didn't move that game back. They actually moved that game up to accommodate the Kentucky Derby. So, they're going to start, they're going to wait to start any sports, okay? Soccer, field hockey, that's the main ones that will be affected by it, okay? But football is not scheduled to start until September 2nd. Which, again, is still earlier than what the original plan was because of the Kentucky Derby, and they don't want to have, you know, the overlapping crowd of the Derby and Louisville football going on all together. Now, you know, some of the schools, you know, North Carolina, they've put a pause on voluntary athletic workouts after they had some COVID-19 issues. Of course, we know about Clemson football had members of their team and staff and things like that that tested positive and stuff like that. So there have been some schools. And, of course, you know, we've seen Ohio State and some others around the country that are pausing activities, you know, for now. Some of the couple of Big 12 schools doing it as well. But The ACC will start all of its sports a little bit later. But, you know, like I said, funny because it doesn't really affect football. And in fact, football had to push itself up a little bit. Florida State and NC State, or sorry, not Florida State, Florida of the SEC, the Gators, and NC State have scheduled a home-and-home for 2026 and 2032. So the Gators will go to Raleigh, North Carolina in 2026, and then they'll play again 6 years later in Gainesville, Florida, for all of this. You know, Florida has set up home-and-home series over the next bunch of years with Texas, Utah, California, Colorado, and Arizona State. NC State has grabbed a hold of now with Florida, Mississippi State, Texas Tech, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, and BYU. Look, here's one thing for sure is that once we put the pandemic and all that in our rearview mirror, hopefully at some point, okay, come, you know, the twilight of my life, you know, everybody's going to play tons and tons of these Power Five, you know, major college program types of games. And that's great. I mean, that it's great for the sport. That is one thing that I think that the playoff committee and the evolution, you know, of college football and the system and adding the plus one game, you know, the plus one game, that's, hell, go back to the 70s. I mean, that's Vince Dooley and guys like that. I mean, they talked about plus one. Vince had always talked about, you know, a plus one type of system for years and years and years. But, you know, as things have evolved, one of the things is making sure to keep your schedule beefed up so that, okay, I have a similar record. You know, you got, you know, Team A, Team B, similar record. How do I distinguish? Well, let's look. You know, this guy played Cupcake City. This guy played What's the Matter You? Okay, these guys play Notre Dame and Texas. Well, you know, sorry, but Saint Sister Mary Christian, you know, School for the Blind and What's the Matter You aren't the same as, you know, Notre Dame and Texas. So, you know, schools are trying to beef up those out-of-conference schedules. So that's a good thing. Now, speaking of another series that has been announced, one of our local teams has gotten involved in that. So Georgia State has scheduled games versus Ole Miss as part of what will be kind of a basketball football weekend for them. So Georgia State is going to go to Ole Miss. They'll go to Oxford for a football game in 2026. That game is scheduled for November 21st. That's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, okay? And then the day before, Georgia State and Ole Miss will play in basketball on November 20th. So, you know, Georgia State trying to get, you know, their schedule beefed up as well. You know, here's what you're looking at with Georgia State, okay? And this is starting not this year, but starting next year in 2021. They'll play at North Carolina and at Auburn. The following year, 2022, they've got at South Carolina, home with North Carolina. So they got a home and home with North Carolina. 2023, they go to LSU. 2024 to Georgia Tech. They'll also play Vanderbilt in their stadium. Then they'll go to Vanderbilt in 2025. 2026, they add the Ole Miss game in Oxford. And then Georgia Tech will come to Panther Stadium for all of that. So adding some SEC, adding some ACC teams into their mix, trying to beef up their schedule. Look, as they try to turn a corner in their program, trying to get their program, you know, to that next level, trying to get to a more competitive level. You know, certainly they were a surprise this past season and such a great job by Coach Elliott, almost kind of out of nowhere, it felt like. So good for, you know, good for State, trying to add more things. But that'll be a fun weekend next year, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. Get some hoops, get some football. And I'm sure, you know, look, it works out perfect for Georgia State fans, you know, taking a whole weekend of state sports. All right, CBS Sports has got their coaching hot seat list that is put out, okay? And they rank these on a number system. So if you get a 5 rating, it's win or be fired. 4 is start improving now. down to zero, which is untouchable. Okay? So they're fives. They've got Chip Kelly at UCLA, Scott Frost at Nebraska, Randy Edsall at UConn, Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, who I'm surprised, truthfully, I'm surprised they brought Mason back for one more year. I'm honestly surprised that he got one more season to be able to try to turn things around there, because they were bad. They were a bad football team. So the other guy on this list too, of course, no surprise, is Clay Helton. Of course, he's the head coach of the Southern Cal fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis. Let's see, ratings of four. He's got some big names on. They got big names on here. Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman, Will Muschamp. Now, I wonder about Will Muschamp. Is he more closer to he's got to win now? Now, the other part about this is, with the pandemic, we have no I'm not convinced that you're going to get a lot of coaching turnover from the pandemic, because how do you truly evaluate what kind of season you had if you don't get practice time, if you can't get kids on campus, if you have reduced schedule, if you don't play out of conference, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of these factors, how do you give a coach a fair assessment? Not to mention the fact of, what if you got a big buyout for a coach? And maybe it wasn't a horrendous year. You know, maybe it wasn't, let's say they played 10 games. Maybe it wasn't 2-8, but maybe you were 5-5. 4-6, would that, you know, and maybe you got a huge buyout. Does the school kind of look at you and say, all right, let's see, because maybe in a full year he could have gotten to a bowl game, or, you know, like, I do believe that you're going to look and see, you're going to look and see that coaches that maybe in some other years might have gotten fired for it are not going to feel that kind of wrath this year. That you know, those guys are not going to feel that wrath. Now, you know, Manny Diaz is on this list for Miami as a four, meaning that he's got to get things turned around now. What if they have a really bad year? Could he be a guy? I'm not so sure that he's not on the hot seat, because that was bad the way it ended last year. Real bad. I know my buddy Christian is listening, you know, out there, but that was really bad. And I'm not convinced that if Miami doesn't have at least some respectable type of season, because North Carolina is going to be the team that's going to be favored to win the ACC Coastal this year. They're the hot, sexy pick. Max loading up on recruits, and, you know, listen, Tech's trying to turn things around. You know, Virginia Tech had a bounce back season. Virginia pretty good last year, but they lose their best player, really the best player they've had in a while at that program. You know, Duke's a middle of the road type of team, so while it's still not a great division, you have a program that all of a sudden is getting a lot of eyeballs on it and getting a lot of off-season love, and that's North Carolina. And I think a lot of people too look at Georgia Tech and say, okay, Jeff Collins did a pretty good job, and this program looks like it's on solid footing. I don't think anybody said that Miami looked good. I don't know anybody that said, oh yeah, Manny Diaz, you know, at Hines, not when he got the job, but looking after the season, saying, oh yeah. Yeah, that didn't go so well. Yeah, that Manny Diaz, though, he's the guy for the job. I don't think you hear a lot of that from Miami fans. So I think Manny Diaz is probably on a little bit hotter seat than what some people think. Kevin Sumlin, I think, is another guy, too, is that, you know, they thought, you know, coming into Arizona, and, you know, he had a big year, one of those years with Khalil Tate, and it looked like things were going to turn around, and just that program has gone nowhere. And then they look across the state and say, wait a second, Herm's got it cooking over here. He's starting to figure some things out at Arizona State. Maybe we got the short end of that stick when people thought it'd be the complete opposite of all of that. So, but I do think Clay Helton is probably the number one hot seat coach, because he's part of the biggest program west of the Rocky Mountains. That program has to win. And we got to do it for Wendy, Lauren, and Alexa. Anyway, when we get back, take away Freddie, take away Ronnie. Who are the three most important Atlanta Braves after that for trying to win a division and further? We'll talk about that next. This is John Chuckman Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling along. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
Oh, oh, I miss you, baby. I swear I do miss you. Ever since you went away, I ain't been doing nothing but
thinking,
with my head in my hand.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back out on the John Chuckman Show, Brown Liquor Music Hour. Of course, the pride of Canton, Ohio, the OJs right here, of course. No backstabbing going on here. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Roosevelt text line. Social media, 92.9 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. What they do. Follow us at JMSH316. He's at JarvisD90. You know, Jarvis and I were talking in the break about this age of music. I mean, you know, and we were just kind of talking about going back to that kind of era, man. I've said before, man, I mean, 76, 77, 78, 79, man, that's my wheelhouse, man. That is, you know, and I was a young kid. I mean, you know, you're talking I was 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, years old. You know, in that time, I mean, but still, it's just like I remember that music, and you know, I was telling Jarvis, man, I mean, just I loved disco even as a kid, just disco and funk and R&B and soul, and you just, you know, we were joking about, you know, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, you know, with Teddy Pendergrass. I was like, man, you know, he went to break with that Harold Melvin song, and I'm like, man, that's like that, you know, when you hear stuff like that, you can just picture like guys in blue, powder blue leisure suits with the white shirt underneath, lapels sticking out, you know, onto the suit jacket collar, flower pinned on their lapel or on their pocket, you know, big white flower, taco meat sticking out, you know, of the shirt, gold chain, platform shoes, bell-bottom pants. I mean, you can just picture, you know, that classic, like, kind of outfit, you know? I mean, you know, watching Soul Train, you know, and watching them get up there and start doing funk and R&B and disco and getting it all going and stuff like that, man. I mean, just, and we were just kind of joking, man. It's such a different time. I mean, it was just, you know, there wasn't technology and things like that, man. You had to go to the record store and buy a record or an 8-track or a cassette, and you had to go in your car and you were listening to the radio, and you still had AM radio, which was a popular format. You know, there was, you know, AM radio was still a thing. Everything wasn't just FM radio. You know, AM was still a big, you know, big spectrum for how people listen and stuff like that. And, you know, it was all about your local DJ in your town, you know, who was the guys on. You know, I joke with Robbie Rosenhaus about you know, like growing up, you know, the rock station, WMMS up in Cleveland, you know, the famous Kid Leo, you know, just guys like that you remember, those local personalities and stuff. So different time, man, a different time, different era. It wasn't about downloads. I mean, you actually had to sell records. If you wanted a hit record and you wanted to make money, you had to sell records or cassettes or 8-tracks, man. You had to go to Turtles or Spencer Music and, you know, places like that. You had to go buy your records, man. You had to go buy your, get the record and, or get the cassette or, you know, get the 8-track. And I had, my mom had a lot of 8-tracks, man. We had plenty of 8-tracks, which is just funny to think about the technology on some of that stuff. So speaking of technology, as we move into modern day with the Atlanta Braves, as they had their second, inter-squad scrimmage, earlier today. Of course, no Freddie Freeman, you know, still out there. Look, we know that when you talk about the Braves' success, that the two guys at the very top of the mountain are Freddie and Ronald. And I describe those two guys the exact same way as I describe Matt and Julio. Julio Jones is the best player on the Atlanta Falcons, but Matt Ryan is the most important player on the Atlanta Falcons. I think the same thing for the Braves. I think Ronald Acuna Jr. is the best player on the Braves, but I think Freddie Freeman is the most important player. He's that clubhouse guy. He's the veteran. He's the guy that is kind of the leader of that team. You know, him hitting third in that lineup and locking that spot down for life is, like what your quarterback is. You know, that's your quarterback of your team spot is hitting in that coveted third spot. That's the golden spot when you talk about baseball lineups is, you know, you always traditionally have your best hitter hitting, you know, your best all-around hitter hitting in that spot out there. So if we look at the Braves and say, take away Freddie, take away Ronald, who are the three most important Braves for trying to get this to where the Braves win another division, can win a pennant, can win a World Series, okay? So, and we talked to Peter Moylan a little bit about this earlier on in the show. For me, the number one guy is Mike Soroka. I think he's the most important guy. You need to find that guy who can be the ace of your staff. You need Soroka to come off of that season where last year, third in the league in ERA, first in the league in ERA plus when you factor in ballpark factors and things like that. You know, a guy with a lot of moxie on the mound, a guy who's got, you know, just doesn't get rattled, doesn't get frayed, really had very few bad outings last year, maybe sometimes the victim of poor run support, poor bullpen. Maybe his record should have been a little bit better than what it was. But certainly he looks like a guy who's got the ability to be that next big-time ace. He's got that mental makeup where he doesn't get frazzled. Things don't bother him. You know, we don't hear about that between-the-ears thing like we do with some other guys and with some other young pitchers around the Braves and in baseball in general, you know, with it. He seems like a guy who stays calm and pretty level-headed and pretty even-keel through the whole thing. So I think that he needs to have that big-time step-forward season where, you know, if you're going to match up against, you know, the Scherzers or the Verlanders or the Kershaws or, you know, obviously Chris Sale's not there right now, but when you're talking about that level of pitcher, you know, having one of those guys that can help lead you, Sale leading the Red Sox to a World Series, Kershaw leading the Dodgers to a couple of World Series, obviously Verlander and Garrett Cole leading, you know, the Astros, Verlander just being that stud, you know, Max Scherzer being that rock for the Washington Nationals. I mean, having one of those kinds of guys, you know, and that's the hope, you know, and this team's been looking for one of those guys since that holy trinity of Hall of Fame pitchers made their way, you know, through here. So Mike Soroka for me is number one. Number two is the guy I keep saying is the biggest X factor, and that's Marcell Ozuna. You know, assuming that Freddie Freeman will be back sooner rather than later, and let's say even if he misses a week or two of the first of the beginning of the season for this team, you're going to have to have a guy that protects him and can drive in some runs. I mean, you've got to be able, you know, it's great to have Ronald and Ozzy and Freddie running around the bases and things like that, but if they're not safely touching home because nobody's driving them in, it won't mean a whole lot. It'll be very empty out there. It's great to have a bunch of steals and things like that, but I'd rather have the guy that always leads the league in runs scored for it. You know, that's what you want out of all of it. And that's where Ozuna's got to come back to form. You know, stay healthy, stay injury-free, you know, try to get back closer to the guy that, you know, we saw in Florida in his walk year versus kind of what he's done really the last couple of years for the St. Louis Cardinals out there. But I think when you talk about trying to replace that production of Josh Donaldson, you know, they need him to really step his game up and get out of the chute quickly. You know, can't really falter because, look, if Ozuna really struggles for this team, Freddie Freeman's not going to get the kind of opportunities that you'd want out of him. You know, it's great for Freddie to stand on first base and he's there safely and things like that. But if that's because teams are taking the bat out of his hands to pitch to Ozuna and he can't capitalize on that and he can't find a way to drive in runs, then, you know, Freddie will have a lot of walks and it'll be hollow numbers. You know, the last thing I want for Freddie Freeman to do, I've said this, you know, for years now, the last thing I want out of Freddie Freeman is him to lead the league in walks. I don't want that for Freddie because that means people are taking the bat out of his hands. And Freddie's such a good hitter and can go to all fields. And we talk about the fact that, you know, he might have spent some years being underrated, but he's not underrated any longer. People know how good of a hitter and how good of a player Freddie Freeman is. Very good defensive first baseman to go along with, obviously, you know, a terrific bat. People know and understand how good and how consistent Freddie Freeman is out there. But you got to have somebody to protect him. You know, you want him to be able to get some swings and some cuts, you know, because there's that fear of the guy behind him that, okay, if Freddie gets on base, one swing and I'm down three runs. And that's why Ozuna hitting in that cleanup spot has got to be that run producer. Because the reality is that they don't have a lot of great, you know, if it's Acuna, Ozzy, Freddy, Ozuna, you know, after that, there's not a lot of great run producers. You know, Travis d'Arnaud could have a good year. He's not going to produce a ton of runs, though. Do you think he's a guy that's going to drive in 80 or 90 runs? You know, could Austin Riley be that guy? Yes. But do I get Austin Riley red hot with no video on him? Or do I get the league adjusted to Austin Riley? Which one of those guys do I get? Or is it somewhere in the middle of all of that? I don't know. We know Austin Riley can certainly be that guy, but it hasn't been proven yet. Ender's not a big run producer, obviously. Miss me with Adam Duvall, okay? You know, Caharga, Dansby. You know, those guys have their moments and things like that, but I'm talking about a guy who can be a big-time run producer, a guy that in a full season, you know, I'm talking about a guy who even, you know, as I hit into fifth, you know, could be a guy who could hit, you know, 20 homers and drive in 80 or 90 runs, you know, for it. So they need Ozuna to have that kind of big productive year hitting in the cleanup spot. And then finally, the other guy is my guy, the guy that I love, Ozzy Albies, you know. And this goes back to where I said, you know, Freddie is no longer the most underrated player in baseball. The most underrated player in baseball, probably the guy who stands 50 feet to his right. You look at the power and the speed and everything and getting on base, you know, and it's funny to see Ozzy Albies do what he has done because there was no sign in the minor leagues that he was going to be the kind of home run producer that he was. You know, I've said, you know, if you hit Ozzy fifth, he could be a guy that could drive in 100 runs from that spot. He's that good of a hitter, and he's that productive. You know, he comes through in the clutch and has a lot of big moments for this team. So, you know, he's probably the next best player. When you talk about after Ronald and Freddie, he's probably the next best player that this squad has. And, of course, you know, they need him. I'd like to see them take advantage of his speed on the base pass and let him, you know, with that reckless abandon that he plays with the helmet flying off and all. Love to see him get a chance to steal some bases, move around the base pass, and put more pressure on pitchers and defense for all of it. So, Soroka, Ozuna, Ozzy Albies. That's my three guys. We're talking about once we get past Freddie and Ronald, who are the three most important guys on this roster. All right, when we get back, I want to talk about something that I read from AtlantaFalcons.com that, you know, truthfully, I get why it was written, but it's also symptomatic of all of my frustration about how we perceive and how we talk about the Atlanta Falcons. I'll explain all this next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you Thursday night, headed toward the top of the hour on JR Sports Brief. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. .  That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll leave us a comment there. This is John Church. JR Sports Brief coming up at the top of the hour. Social media, 92.9 The Game, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. And I'm going to be delicate with this. I'm going to try, okay? Because I got no issue with the guy, and he actually just started following me on Twitter here, actually last week when I was up. So, you know, Matthew Tabeek, you've heard of Matthew. He's on with John and Hugh in the mornings. He's the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. You know, he writes a lot of the articles and stuff like that on Falcons.com. And it seems a good enough guy. I've not met Matt. Like I said, he actually just started following me on Twitter the other day. I know he's done, you know, a lot of stuff with Johnny Hugh. He may have been on with Andy and Randy and such too out there. So I'm not gonna. This is not about him personally or anything like that. But it is to me symptomatic about how too many people talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so he has this thing that he does straight from the beak, where he answers questions from people. Send him in questions, email him questions. I don't know, whatever. They send a carrier pigeon or a Wells Fargo stagecoach, however they get the questions to him, and then he answers them, okay? So Donovan from Atlanta, Georgia, writes, if we jump out of the gate with a fast start, do you think we will go to the Super Bowl? Would you go and get another linebacker like Clay Matthews and a cornerback? Matt's answer. Let me answer these in order. If the Falcons start fast, it would certainly help their chances of finishing with a winning record and a shot at a postseason berth. But let's be honest here. Because the back end of their schedule right now is brutal. So to answer your question, it would help, but there are no guarantees. The goal is to win the division, make the playoffs, and take it from there. You've got to be in it to win it. For now, though, let's tap the brakes on the Super Bowl talk. Now, and he goes on. He's got more, but he says, I have no idea what the Falcons would do right now in terms of adding their roster. I think they want to get everyone in camp. He goes kind of in about Clay Matthews and all that kind of stuff. But I want to read that again, okay? The goal is to win the division, make the playoffs, and take it from there. You've got to be in it to win it. For now, though, let's tap the brakes on the Super Bowl talk. Now, this is my problem with all this, okay? He doesn't have an unreasonable position or some hot takey opinion or anything like that, okay? And I also understand, obviously, he writes for AtlantaFalcons.com, okay? But this is what bothers me. This is why you hear me get agitated. Why should we tap the brakes on the Super Bowl talk? What the hell are we playing for? Well, you got to win the division. I get that. But this is a franchise that was in the Super Bowl just a few years ago. And I keep asking the same question with no answer. When do we talk about the Super Bowl? Don't tell me about when we're in the NFC title game. Well, then we could talk about Super Bowl. I mean, when do we start setting some expectations for a franchise that has its best quarterback of all time in what should be the dead red prime of his career for how much longer? We don't know. One of the best players, probably one of the four or five best players in the entire history of the franchise, in Julio Jones, in his prime, for how much longer, we don't know. They've kept their coach, kept their general manager, kept all this stuff in place. When does there finally become a time in the offseason where we say, okay, now we can talk about the Super Bowl? What is that magic formula or thing that has to happen? Well, you got to build the playoffs. Okay, tell me about their playoff appearance in 2015. What was the playoff appearance that happened in 2015 that said, hey, you know what? Next year they're going to the Super Bowl. Nothing. Of course not. You know, and this is the thing about this franchise in the expectations. And it's, like I said, it's not a shot against Matt, you know, in what he's saying. Because, like I said, it's not unreasonable. He's not coming out with some hot takey thing of, well, let's play it one game at a time and hopefully we get. I get it. But at the same time, guys and gals, we can't just sit back and say, boy, hope one of these days we could talk about maybe expectations for the Super Bowl. Like, when does that moment happen? When does that moment happen? If you want to be one of the best franchises, you have to talk and act like you're one of the best franchises in the NFL. Now, yeah, I understand. The Falcons haven't done that. That's the problem. You know, you can't. The goal is to put that damn trophy in that case in Flowery Branch. Okay, these are the guys that have to do it. Because the Super Bowl was there to be had. And you know who was on that team? Matt was on that team. Julio's on that team. Jake Matthews on that team. Alex Mack was on that team. Debo was on that team. Grady was on that team. Ken O'Neill was on that team. Ricardo Allen was on that team. Now, you have guys that make up the bulk of the best core group of my players that were all there for it. And like I said, this would be a different conversation about the state of the franchise if we had won. If the Falcons had given us a Super Bowl trophy, the conversation and the angst in my voice wouldn't be the same. Now, would I have expected them the next year to go to the Super Bowl? Damn right. Once you win one, the goal should be to win two. You know, you think Bill Belichick is dumbing down his expectations with or without? I'll guarantee you he thinks in the back of his mind, screw Tom Brady, I can still get us the damn Super Bowl. And this is what bothers me when I read these things and hear these things on air and hear fans and interact with fans. Oh, we hadn't been to the playoffs the last couple of years. So the NFL's designed where you can be not in the playoffs one year and in the damn Super Bowl. Hell, this franchise just did it. Go win. How many more years can you just sit back and say, well, you know, we're getting close. You know, Matt and Julio, they just keep aging and getting older in front of our eyes. Well, you know, I know we're losing another year, prom, and another year, and another year. But, you know, listen, we're making strides. Like, when are we allowed to have that conversation? Why should we tap the brakes on the Super Bowl? I keep saying, okay, so 9-7, and they get in the playoffs and lose in the wild card, that's success? Now, yeah, I guess relative for this franchise, yeah, that's success. But what the hell are we playing for? What the hell are you investing your money at Mercedes-Benz for? A good time, or you want to see a championship football team? If you're going there for a good time, fine. Just say it. I'm going there for a party. I'm going there to meet girls. I'm going there to take my kids. I'm going there to eat up a Sunday. I'm going, I just like the fan experience. Fine. I got no issue with that. But if you're telling me you're going there because you love the football team and you're a fan, okay. Then don't you want a championship for all your effort and your money and your hard work? I know I sure as hell do. I've been here since 1993. I want to damn win the thing. I don't want to keep sitting back. Well, you know, they're getting better. You know, franchise is moving forward. You know, if you don't draw that line in the sand at some point in your life and say, okay, you know, it's like exercising anything, you know. We keep saying, well, you know, if I eat a little bit better or this, that, and the other, at some point you either decide to eat better, exercise, and get your act together. I did it. I had to do it. My damn heart exploded on me. About to. Or I should say more shut down on me. And thing was all clogged up and, you know, 100% blockage and front artery for widowmaker heart attack. Hell, I had to change. It was either that or die. Take your pick. I mean, is that what we have to do is get to the point of it's either Matt and Julio, you know, are going to win it, or we got to cut bait and start over? Because it won't last forever. You know, as great as like the Rams and some of those teams were, it didn't last that long. Their run of winning Super Bowls for the greatest show on turf, it wasn't a decade. Hell, look at Seattle. How quickly it comes and goes. Those guys talk to this day about kicking themselves about, how do we not win that second Super Bowl? I just won our first. So I'm not mad at Matthew on it, but it is symptomatic of where some of the issues about why don't we ask for bigger things come from. All right, we get back. It'll be time to wrap things up. It'll be time for the Love TKO. Get over to JR Sports Brief. It's all coming up next. It is John Chuck Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
Every day the sun comes up around her, she can make the birds sing harmony.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.